Yo, what's up? So this is being recorded on a totally different way. I have to use my cell phone because I left my laptop behind. So I'm getting no feedback, which is kind of annoying because I have no idea what this is going to sound like, but well, welcome to Beefs. Beefalo04@gmail.com/beefsplace. Or sorry, Beefalo04@gmail.com, patreon.com/beefsplace. Although I don't think the support model is going to work very well if Sam Harris is going away from a support-driven podcast to a subscription base. He doesn't want to do adverts. Because he knows he's going to have issues. Because the way that guy, his level of honesty is not allowed in polite society. A lot of times that's what PC-ness is. It's like, lie to be polite. Which isn't all bad. Anyway, so I'm not so sure how well that's going to work. Really, it's just a matter of getting enough. What's the word I'm looking for? Getting enough downloads to warrant adverts and start making money that way. So, I don't know if this is going to work while I've turned off, so let's find out if it kept going or not. I guess I should probably test that, but I won't because I like to be reckless. No, it does. Fantastic. Let's hope this works. So, first of all, college football, some interesting goings on. Now, the biggest one is Alabama lost, which means that Georgia has a better chance than it did to get. Actually, I mean. Let me slow down a second. Alabama lost, so really what that means is that Utah is now ranked fifth, Oklahoma, Florida, Baylor, etc. down the line. Sorry, Air Force Academy, Navy, Appalachia State, and BSU, the Boise State. That's sorry guys, same to you, Memphis. You guys are SOL. Probably Baylor too. What I'm thinking is it come down to this because LSU's first. They're gonna play Georgia, and I think I'm pretty sure. I mean, Cowherd seems to think that they're gonna get in no matter who wins or loses that game. I don't think so. I think if Georgia loses, they and Utah wins out, that it's gonna be Utah, which would be bad for Georgia, but cool for the playoffs. And then we have, if LSU loses, Georgia gets in, maybe, because they're both 12-1. So, who really should go? Is it the one that won the last game, or one that everyone thinks is better? So, I could see a way where LSU loses the SEC championship game. Doesn't get into the playoffs, but then Georgia gets in as well. So you have the two SEC teams and OSU and Clemson, assuming they win out, which I'm not even sure they have any more games. And kind of SOLing Utah, Oklahoma. But at the end of the day, if LSU loses, they're a one-loss team. So are you, Utah and Oklahoma. Baylor would have been nice, but you guys didn't win out, so. That's that. It would just be cool to see someone that's not one of the usual suspects get into this guy. And Oklahoma is one of the usual suspects, meaning they've been there before, really. That's all that really means. So Alabama pretty much lost every good team they played. So we'll just leave it at that. And that's college football. Georgia beat the. Okay, it's not a rivalry between Georgia Tech and Georgia. because like Georgia's won like it wins like 95% of the time. So I don't know how much of a rivalry that really is, you know? Rivalry means you're like you're fighting. You're always like, oh no, they beat us. Oh yeah, they beat us. Oh no, we beat them. We beat them. Like Ohio State, Michigan. It goes back and forth. Even if it goes a few years one way. Georgia's been beating the crap out of Georgia Tech for some time now. I believe it's 1996. I'm trying to look it up right now. Let's see. Come on, Google. Help me out here. Clean Old Fashioned Hate. That's the name of the rivalry. That's unfortunate. So Georgia leads 68-41-5. Oh, no, Georgia's win streak's only the last 3 years. Georgia Tech actually has the longest win streak at 8 from 1949 and 1956. And the current win streak, Georgia has 3. I find that hard to believe. Wartime disruptions. Yay, Wikipedia. Yay. I almost don't want to believe this. It just seems, wow, it's been played 114 times. Georgia did win in 2016. And again in 2014. And then in 2008. It is Georgia dominated pretty much since the early times. So 68-41, I guess you call it a rivalry. I would say in the last 10 years, Georgia's won it twice, or Georgia Tech's won it twice. So, I don't know. I mean, at least this year, I'm surprised in 2016, Georgia Tech was that good and Georgia was that bad. I went, really? Man, my memory is shot. So I started watching Georgia in 2012, and I remember them being good the whole time. Anyway, so that's it. That's college football this weekend. The big thing was Alabama lost, which means there won't be any, like, super gay. Even though Alabama has a loss and didn't make it to the championship game, we're still going to let them do it, and then they pull it out of their butts and manage a victory, which is great and all, but not that great. As far as from my perspective of just wanting to see different teams in there, I don't really care about parity so much overall. It is, however, nice to see someone else win. Just in this case, in the NFL, I could watch the Patriots win every year and be totally happy about it and not get any. I want to see Roger Federer win like 10 more Grand Slams. I want to see Lewis Hamilton beat Michael Schumacher, because everything I hear about Schumacher is that he was like the biggest jerk on the planet. Michael Schumacher is an F1 racer. Wow. Did you just see that segue I did right into? It's the end of the F1 season. That's right. It's over. Last race. Not another race for 104 days. Now, to recap some simple ideas about F1, one of them is it's a relatively short season. There's 22 total races. 20, actually, this year. 22 next year. So, if you look at it in comparison to NFL and college football, it's a little bit longer. But let's compare it to other racing leagues. NASCAR, the only one I know off the top of my head well enough. They have like 38 races. It's almost on every weekend. And that one ended last week with the championship. Now they have this different playoff thing, and they have a lot more racers involved, but they also have the equivalent of F2 and F3. It's called the Xfinity Series and the truck racing. And just like F1, it's different cars. The Xfinity cars look similar, but have significantly less power. And then the trucks look way different. They're still race cars. They're race cars made to like simulate what a truck looks like. Not exactly actual pickup trucks racing around. That'd be a cool idea. I don't know how much that really... That does happen in, I think, GT and sports car racing, where they race actual... You could buy those cars at the dealership. You still have to do stuff to them. It's not like they go buy a Porsche RS2 and go, yeah, I just want the top of the line one. Great. They definitely do things like take out the other seats and probably put in a racing seat and probably put in a racing harness. It's like a 5-point. And then they probably put in some kind of roll bars and some fire safety, like some fire extinguishers, and take out the paneling. So it's not exactly, obviously the paint jobs are different. Not exactly the same thing, but pretty close. From far as racing goes, it's pretty close, because good luck buying an F1 Mercedes. I mean, they'd probably sell it to you if you asked, but they only built a few. So there's like maybe, because they definitely have a spare, so I think there might be like 3, maybe 4 of them, because they tend to just rebuild them, right? So they're ready to go in case the guy wrecks it during qualifying, and they got 24 hours to more or less rebuild the entire car. They're quite capable of doing that. They're a little bit fragile. I would almost say like stop using carbon fiber. Can you guys go to like aluminum or something else? Because you tap it and shatters, and that causes all kinds of like stupidity on the track. Anyway, there was the last F1 race. It was, if you were watching if you're like a, let's say you're not that into it, you don't know much about it, and you want to watch a race that's like the standard way, which means you care who wins. And I know this is going to sound silly. It's like, what are you talking about? Of course you care who... Not really. Not really, because the races... And I'll get into how things ended up, but first and second was pretty much decided. And third, Leclerc did have a chance, but he had to beat Verstappen by almost to the point where Verstappen had to wreck. So 1, 2, 3, 4 are pretty much set. 5 was pretty much set. So Vettel was pretty much going to be in 5th because there was some chance he could overtake Leclerc, but it was mathematically possible, because he was less than 26 points behind him. It was like 19. But he needed a difference of like 20 points. And Leclerc basically had to like not score. Then a huge... Now here's where it got real tight. 6, 7, 8. It was between Alexander Albon, Pierre Gasly, and Carlos Sainz. Of those three, Carlos Sainz is by far the superior driver. By far. He's in a McLaren. McLaren finished 4th, basically best of the rest, beating out Renault, Alfa Romeo, not to be confused with Mayo, Toro Rosso, and Williams, and Racing Point. Now, Toro Rosso is basically Red Bull B-team. And Alfa Romeo really looks like their Ferrari B team. It's not quite as official. Sometimes I wonder about Williams being Mercedes's B teams. They keep talking about George Russell going to Mercedes-Benz if they decide to like get rid of Valtteri Bottas, which is like, wait a minute. You guys want to get rid of a dude that was able to beat the championship driver occasionally, made it close-ish, was able to repeatedly give you 1-2 finishes, and is completely seemingly happy to do it. A lot of these guys, huge ego. They're not going to just let Hamilton win. Leclerc couldn't do it. Leclerc couldn't even let. I mean, yeah, it's true. His Leclerc's little sort of temper tantrums that he had, his tears were happening towards the end of the season. When, or I should say the middle, when Vettel looked like. He was sort of like, okay, I'll be second fiddle to Vettel. And then he watched Vettel and went, no, I'm better. So. Maybe that's a little bit different of a situation, but I don't think he would do it. I think Leclerc wouldn't accept his place the way Valtteri is just happy to be there, happy to finish second. It's funny to say that too, because he's happy to be second overall, and he's happy with like more wins this year than a lot of these racers have had their entire careers in F1. So that being said, anyway. But yeah, so Albon and Gasly both drove a Red Bull for part of the season. Gasly for, let's see, the first 10 or 12 races. And Albon had 8 races in it. And Norris is in contention for 6th place, which is like, should be impossible. There should be no way that some guy in a McLaren can be vying for 6th place, even with the change. He is one of two people. Not from the top 3 teams this year to have a podium. I mean, I might be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure it was him and Daniel Kvyat. Oh no, Pierre Gasly, technically, yes. So there were 3. Pierre Gasly got a podium. Daniel Kvyat got a podium. And Carlos Sainz. But Gasly's kind of weird because he was on the good Red Bull team. Then he got put on the bad Red Bull team. Not bad, but second string. And then. JV, minor league, AAA as it were, Xfinity Series, that races in the same circuit. But Carlos Sainz was not. So to me, or, yeah, so to me, it's like a pretty big deal that he's in contention there. And then, like, 9, 10, 11, I think it's pretty much Raikkonen. Versus maybe Ricardo and Perez. We'll see how this turns out. Qualifying, just really, I'm gonna hit the top guy. So Hamilton, Bottas finished 1-2, but Bottas has to start at 20th position because of engine unit replacement. So if you're not really supposed to replace your engine's supposed to last. So if you replace certain parts, then you get grid penalties. And he replaced 2 pieces in his power unit, thereby starting 20th. Then we got Verstappen and Leclerc. So that's a huge one. They're actually kind of fighting. Vettel, Albon, Norris, and then our hero. Where's our hero of the day? Which is Carlos Sainz in 9th. So he needs to finish in the points. If he can get 1 point, basically, and Albon doesn't like win, he more or less takes the cake. And then Gasly's in 12th. And other interesting things: Raikkonen, who I love, of course, 18th. Russell and Kubica are, and I haven't run it yet. I'm about to run Abu Dhabi and see how my times are here in a minute. But right now, I don't know. Let's see, what do I have to beat? 134 was the fastest time. Qualifying, which is the fastest time. And then Russell beats Kubica. Russell had out-qualified Kubica and outbeat him in almost every race but 2. And unfortunately, one of the times Kubica finished ahead of Russell was the one time enough people DNF'd that, yes, Williams got a point. actually turn out? Well, Hamilton just gets a good start. And if Hamilton gets a good start, you're pretty much not going to catch him. He gets out there in the open, and he's just gone. Something has to go wrong. Some tire strategy has to be messed up. Something has to not work properly for Hamilton to get out front and stay out front. Now, sometimes he's got bad starts. Sometimes on the first lap he gets overtaken. But once he gets that clean air and he gets a little bit of distance, he's gone. Verstappen had a decent start. There was no wrecks or anything. And of course, Bottas starts working his way up. The Mercedes-Benz analysts believe that number six was the best he could do, but he ends up doing pretty well. He goes through the whole. He goes through them like a hot knife. Like he's playing an Xbox game on easy, and he ends up in fourth place. Verstappen ends up in second. Leclerc in third. Vettel fifth. Way behind. One of the things that happened in the beginning of the race is the DRS system failed, and it showed what it would look like without it. It was a little bit less passing. Now, this DRS thing has a way bigger effect on the mid-pack. They tend to be more clustered closely together for various reasons, so they tend to pass a lot more. At the front of the pack, the top cars, really it's like qualifying and how does your start go? How do you work your strategy? Which is like what killed Ferrari this year. Their strategy, including this race, has been terrible. They just did the wrong things. They just pitted at the wrong time. They chose the wrong tires. They made bad assumptions about what their opponents would do. And so what are you going to do? They just kind of suck. Gasly just, as always, in typical Gasly fashion, when it counted, and he knew it counted, he screwed the pooch and finishes 18th. Stroll doesn't finish. He actually finishes behind Russell. That guy just can't take, like, it's weird, because it's like, what do you mean you can't take pressure? You made it through, like, all the other, you can't just go straight to F1. You have to race through the other series. They have to get so many points, which means wins, podiums, finishes. In fact, if you're no good at F2, you can't get into F1. I think there's other way. They're called super license points. I don't know the other ways to get it. I would guess that if a NASCAR driver decided he wanted to try F1, he could probably make a pretty good argument. I could also guess that LMP1 drivers, pros, endurance car could make an argument, and I would guess that like an IndyCar driver could make an argument for, or really what they could do is just take their sponsorships, go into F2, clean house, and move on. But there was a good signs. Just I was hoping he'd finish high. He at the very end of the race did a quick tire change and managed to get past Hulkenberg and Ricciardo. My buddy Raikkonen, 13th, Magnussen and Grosjean of Team America, woohoo, 14th and 15th. So just really quickly on this last race, Albon does end up finishing 6th, which I don't think was enough to overcome Sainz, as long as Sainz got points, which he did. And then Perez comes in 7th. Norris, the other guy from McLaren, comes in 8th. Kvyat 9th. Ricciardo and Hulkenberg 11, 12. Then Raikkonen, Magnussen, Grosjean, Giovinazzi. And I've already talked about the rest. So, Hamilton also gets the fastest lap with 139, which is slower than the slowest qualifying lap from Q3. Fastest pit lap. Oop, stop. Red Bull. And driver of the day, Nico Hulkenberg. Like, why would this guy, who started 10th and finished 12th, get driver of the day? Because it was his last race. He was unable to find a team. I believe Williams talked to him. I think he felt like he was a little bit too good for Williams and he was asking for too much money. I believe that's the same reason Renault got rid of him. He just, he's good. Most of the commentators say like it's, she just needed a better car. Like if you would have given him Lewis's car, he would have been a top driver, unlike say Gasly or Albon. But he never got one, and then he asked for too much money, and Renault was kind of like, no way. Alpha's sticking with Giovinazzi. Antonio Giovinazzi. Williams, I think, are promoting their test driver, Nicholas Latifi. What other seats opened up? That's it. Red Bull doesn't really want to use outside drivers. They're very proud of the fact that they have developed quite a few drivers, including Sebastian Vettel, Max Verstappen, Daniel Ricciardo, who's actually pretty good despite being on Renault. And then there was more. Daniel Kvyat's okay. In any case, they've actually done a better job than you would think at developing drivers, and they're sticking to it. The owner of the soda company decided that that's how they were going to do things, and he's paying, so he gets to have his way. That's how that works. When you pay, you get your way. And that's really pretty much it for the race. Let's look at standings. So drivers, we knew Hamilton. In first, I'm still not sure who's sixth, so I think it should be Carlos Sainz, but we'll see. I haven't even scrolled. Hamilton, of course, we knew. Valtteri, we knew. Max was pretty sure was going to be third. Then Leclerc beats Sebastian Vettel by 24 points. Ouch. Then we got Carlos Sainz beating Pierre Gasly by a point. Oh, that is monstrously bad because Pierre Gasly had a car that a dude finished third and got beat by a second tier team, and he barely squeezed by Albon with 3 points. So even though Albon only got the better car for like half, not a half, 30, 60% of the races, still almost caught him. Ricciardo is in ninth. I told you he's good. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. He would have been way better with Red Bull. Car just kept breaking down. Like sort of was like, I'm done with this. Not gonna race your car that breaks down anymore. I think he didn't want to be friends with Max Verstappen either. Then Sergio Perez in 10th. Lando Norris, 11th. Kimi Räikkönen, 12th. Now think about this. Lando Norris finishing 11th, pretty impressive. But Carlos Sainz beat Red Bull, same car. Kimi Räikkönen comes in 12th. Oh, Norris is better. We'll see. Actually, we'll see because Kimi's at the end, Lando's at the beginning, so we don't know yet. The guy who also drove Kimi's car finished 17th ahead of the two Williams bros, right? And Romain, bad luck, Romain Grosjean. Romain, bad luck, Romain. Daniel Kvyat in 13th. There's Nico Hülkenberg in 14th place, so. I mean, people say he's good, and I'm, sh yep, he's, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, I don't know. Daniel Ricciardo really only beat by Superman Carlos Sainz and then two dudes that drove in Red Bulls, right? So, the only people you're beating are the two Williams dudes, Antonio Giovinazzi, which is not Kimi's doing, and the two Haas guys who had cars that ate the tires faster than any other car on the track. I don't know. And then Lance Stroll is in 15th, Kevin Magnussen 16th, Antonio Giovinazzi 17th, and Romain 18th. Robert Kubica comes in 19th with 1 point, even though
George Russell is by far the better driver. It's kind of funny. And then George last. Constructors, we already knew Mercedes won by a long time. A long time. Ferrari second with 504 versus 739. So 235 points. That's almost would require nearly 10 wins to surpass. Red Bull is in third with a very impressive 417, considering they had three drivers. You should have two. And your two backup drivers, neither one of them really did a whole lot. Then we got McLaren, by far best of the rest, followed by Renault, Toro Rosso, Racing Point, Alfa Romeo, Haas, and of course Williams. Comments there. I think McLaren is poised to make the jump, and hopefully next year we'll have four teams that can, like even this year, there were three teams that could win on any given day. With Red Bull, it was less so because they only had one guy that could. McLaren, I think that Norris might be good enough if their car is just good enough to like occasionally get a win or two, maybe a few podiums. And be in like a class above, so that the cutoff is no longer at three, it'll be at four. With McLaren not really having a chance to win it, but are in it. So it makes a whole lot of sense. Renault's trying to get to that same place. Doesn't seem like they're as close. Racing Point is just good middle of the pack team. They're kind of, they can fight it out. Same thing as Toro Rosso, Renault, Alfa Romeo. I think those four teams, so Renault, Toro Rosso, Racing Point, Alfa Romeo, are the solid mid-pack. Renault or McLaren is above mid-pack, hopefully getting promoted, as it were, to the premiership. You have to do it to yourself. You have to become better, but there's the idea. And, of course, Haas. Almost nowhere to go but up. Last year, it's funny because it was Haas nearly, Renault was best of the worst, and Haas was like a close second, and now they're way out. And then, of course, Williams, they asked George Russell today, like, how do you think you can do next year? He said, well, we almost can't get any worse. The only way it could have been worse is if they had a bunch of DNFs, which I don't think they did. I think they have one. Kubica one. Maybe three. I think both of them had one, and then Kubica had two. So Kubica had two, Russell had one. But both of them were retired in one race. Haas, looking at next year, obviously the top three are going to be top three. Looking for McLaren to make the jump. And then next year's McLaren, thinking Renault, or I'm still going to let Haas, maybe they'll get their act together. I think they could possibly do it. It's surprisingly enough, they kept Romain Grosjean. Someone must really like him. Oh, no, I know what it is. It's sponsorships. Toro Rosso and Alfa, I don't think will ever be more than a mid-pack team because they're just the B teams for Ferrari and Red Bull, respectively. Racing Point is going to be just, again, probably another no real movement there. I wouldn't be surprised to finish exactly seventh again. And then Williams, really the only thing I'd say Williams is I hope you guys can score a few more points. Let's try to do that. And let's take a look at some F1.5, which I think is infinitely interesting. Bet you Carlos Sainz wins that. All right. Yeah, he does by quite a bit. So we saw that in normal F1, Carlos Sainz is sixth. Remember, in this version of the world, there's no Lewis Hamilton, Valtteri Bottas, Max Verstappen, Charles Leclerc, or Sebastian Vettel. But there's Pierre Gasly and Alexander Albon because they both raced in Toro Rosso at some point in the year, I think. So let's look at that. We got Sainz, then Gasly. Oh, but they don't count their Red Bull stuff. So Sainz, Gasly. So Albon and Gasly are pretty much like out of this thing kind of. But anyway, Sainz, Gasly, Albon, Ricciardo, Perez is 1, 2, 3, 4. Is like in fifth and so on. Well, we compare it to 1.5. Sainz comes in first, but Perez is second. And then Norris, which makes sense, actually. And Norris in the real world is 11th. And then Ricciardo, Hülkenberg, Kvyat, Raikkonen, Stroll, Magnussen, Albon in 10th, Giovinazzi, Gasly in 12th. They really shouldn't be involved in this. Grosjean 13th, Russell and Kubica. So here it shows that Russell is better than Kubica because he mostly finished ahead of him. I don't like the idea of including Albon or Gasly because you're not including all the races. And so it's just kind of weird. But Sainz is, you know, but the weird thing here is Perez being second and then Ricciardo being fourth and Hülkenberg fifth. You kind of see of these dudes, this is like really how good these guys are in order, minus Albon and Gasly. And I think that Raikkonen is, even though I love the old man, he's old, he's not in a great car. I would say that Alpha is far inferior to the Renault and the McLaren. I don't know about the Racing Point, though, so I don't know if Perez... Maybe Perez... Not bad. Some of these guys, you see, I think it's just showing you who's good out of these dudes. Minus the fact that Russell and Kubica didn't have a chance. Grosjean and Magnussen's points, even in this, are kind of like suspect. But what I think it's telling you is that Giovinazzi isn't very good. Stroll isn't great. Kvyat isn't all that particularly fantastic either. That's what I'm getting out of this. I'm getting that Sainz, that the McLaren cars are very good, and that Sainz himself is a great driver. I'm seeing that Perez is a great driver, Ricciardo's a great driver, and Hülkenberg really is as good as these guys are saying. That's what this kind of shows me. And finally, and it's a really interesting, like, sort of just like mental thing to look at, that they got this other sort of championship that was driver. So constructors, almost as big a margin. McLaren 466 to Renault's 356. Racing Point in third, Toro Rosso in fourth, Alpha in fifth. With that Alpha, though, that's almost all of that is Kimi Raikkonen. 153, yeah, to 75. So he has double the points that Giovinazzi has. Haas, obviously, Ed Williams, you know, it's what you'd think it would be. It is kind of telling, though, because if you look at the way the constructors, now you're taking sort of the drivers out of it a little bit. McLaren's really, really wants to be one of those top teams, and so does Renault, and they think they can do it. I'm not sure about Racing Point because they rarely interview those dudes. Toro Rosso and Alpha are B teams, so they're not really, they're just sort of there for driver development, da-da-da, maybe some other things I don't understand. And then Haas had all kinds of issues, so it makes sense where it is. Williams, obviously, just terrible. You see that them kind of fall into those three basic categories, in it, trying to win it, B teams, and just dumpster fires. So Haas and Williams were basically dumpster fires this whole year. Then you got the B teams. And the Renault and Racing Point are very close. I mean, a lot of those points, of course, are Perez. It's a lot closer with Sainz and Norris. There you go. So that's something else F1 can kind of point out. It kind of shows you that, yeah, there's those top three teams, but then when you look at the rest, you can break them down into three basic categories, ready for promotion or like gunning for promotion, minor league teams, and dumpster fires. Right. Then finally, it wouldn't be a complete F1 broadcast. It's the last one of the year, too. So you won't get another one of these for months. Let's see how my fantasy team did. Of course, and again, maybe why would anyone care about your fantasy? I don't know. Fantasy football is all over ESPN. And this is the only time I look at it. Do, 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 do. So, 3,049 points. My overall rank is 63 out of 523,000. Let's see, how did I do overall? Overall, top 12%. It's not terrible. But this, somehow I ended up in the Ferrari League, which I had a great, great race. This last race. Fantastic. Because, oh well, this is like too hard. I don't want to sit here with like totally quiet. The only one I care about really is the Shift F1, which I am what? Are you joking? It is. It won't tell me. Where I am, 325. So I was 325 of 1,690. Oh man, only top 20% in my Shift plus F1. All right, cool. So I did okay. I did better than... I got in the top 20th percentile. At one point, I was thinking the... Because I bet heavy on Mercedes. So I had Lewis Hamilton. I had Team Mercedes. And then the way I ended it, I had Raikkonen for a while, but then he started to drop off. I had bad luck Romain for like two races. That was... But I ended up with betting heavy on Mercedes and McLaren. At some point... I saw that McLaren was gonna do well, but I'm not gonna use them as my, because you can get one team and you get five drivers. The problem is, so I can't have two teams. Mercedes is definitely the best team to have. I almost feel like you had to have Mercedes as your team to win. From there, I have to guess that you had to have Hamilton. Because he's so many points ahead. And then it was a matter of figuring out was the best driver. I wonder if I can figure that out. Who weren't... what's the word I'm looking for? Who weren't one of the top dudes. No, it won't even let me look at it. And then I got George Russell and I got Sergio Perez. So eventually I ended up best of the rest, and I ended up with a dude that finished second in 1.5. And the reason I got George Russell is because that dude didn't wreck. He always finished. Which means he didn't have negative points. Like, bad luck Romain had like multiple DNFs, and that's not cool. So That's not occasionally. That's just the way I kind of viewed it. And it kind of, you know, kind of worked out. And it's funny because if you finish, you get a point. If you beat your teammate, you get a point. So positions gained. There's all kinds of ways to score. It's not just like, it's not just your like race points. And that's why George Russell scores a lot of points. Anyway, that was it. That was the final race. It turned out more or less how I saw it turning out. Mercedes, Ferrari, Red Bull. It was relatively predictable. And I think if you're like, oh, you're full of it, you're just saying that now because you looked at it. I have the podcast to prove it, that I've been saying this for a long time. I did not, at the beginning of the season, I did think it was going to, when Nick was right, when Nick was wrong. Nick was wrong that Nick thought it was going to be a Haas or no race. I didn't see McLaren coming out of nowhere because they just got rid of what's one of the best race car drivers ever. And, name's escaping. Oh, I can picture the guy's face and I just can't say the name right now. I don't want to look it up. Alonso, that dude, great driver. He sort of leaves. I'm wondering what would have been if he had stayed. He was just sort of tired of it, tired of being like on a second class team and having to watch these other dudes that I'm sure he thinks he's better than beat him. He's like, you know what? I'm gonna go win an Indy 500. So I'll be one of the few people that have a championship and an Indy 500 win. Indy 500 is a big deal in all of racing. It is the number one sporting event in the world. Yes, it beats the Super Bowl. As far as attendance goes, I don't know about people watching. Something like 500,000 show up. The other ones are like the car rally. He's doing that. Le Mans, I think he has a Le Mans win. So, didn't see that coming. Didn't see McLaren hat coming. I saw Williams just being what they were. And that's not the end of the world, you know. It's not like they're the worst thing that ever happened to racing. They're just hung cunny. Then Alpha and Toro Rosso pretty much had that peg. Doesn't take brilliance. The same thing with Racing Point. And the biggest surprise to me is McLaren and Haas. So McLaren doing far better and Haas doing far worse. I really was hopeful. They're the American team. And you kind of just, they're probably stationed in England because that's where almost every racing team exists. And there's a logistics and HR reasons for it. One is there's all these facilities for racing teams, just wherever in England that these are. And it's like specifically, I think, in the Midlands. I'm not 100%, don't quote me on that. It was in the Adrian Newey book that I read. By the way, I highly recommend it. How to Build a Car by Adrian Newey. There's a logistical like supply chain and facilities aspect. There's also HR. Most of the people working in F1 are English. Now there's some big Renault, Ferrari, Alfa Romeo have, in quotes for Alfa Romeo, successfully not had a British team, but like Sauber was in Switzerland and they had issues because of that. There's certain people that just aren't going to move for work. You're thinking like, yeah, but F1, you're like on the road. Like, yeah, but, you know, the kids in school and, you know, whatever. And then, but in this international world, just DHL stuff. Yeah, but when it's down the street, it's easier. I think there's another team that might be outside of England, but that's all the ones. Force India for sure. Red Bull for sure. Mercedes. Williams. Definitely. So I think that's all I got. Really didn't mean to talk this long, but I did. So me and Talkie Talkie Man. All right. Thanks for listening. I will see you later. Send me an email at bflow04@gmail.com. And that's that. Bye. Take you best.